We are to turn to the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to be reading out of the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 1 through verse 6. The Bible reads this morning, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Supporting scriptures this morning, Acts 5, 28 and 29. The Bible reads, Saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. Ephesians 6 and 1. 1 through 3, I'm sorry. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. The base of those verses this morning, we like to use a thought or a subject. You got to do what the Lord say do. You got to do what the Lord say do. We are crying out with the choir this morning with our children. We're asking the Lord, just please do not pass us by. We need the Lord every step of the way. We need God. It doesn't matter how good things might be in our lives. There might be somebody, everything just all right. And that's all right. It's a blessing for everything to be all right. But there's still a prayer down on the inside. Lord, don't pass me by. I'm all right right now, but I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I'm all right right now, but after a while, things might just change. You ever heard when the old folk used to say, things took a turn for the worse? Hallelujah. And that lets you know that at one point, everything was going pretty much all right, but out of nowhere, things just sort of turned around and it got all messed up. And sometimes that happens in our lives. But we got to be encouraged this morning that regardless of what we are going through, we got to trust God to always be by our side. We thank God that on this, the third Sunday of October, God, in his mercy and his grace, has allowed us just another opportunity to come together as a family of baptized believers that know God, to have all power, and he is have an everlasting love. And his concern for us is that we might have life. And the word of God tells us, not only does he want us to have life, but the word says, have it more abundantly. Even though we may suffer sometimes and things get tight and we begin to worry and wonder how we are going to make it. And I wonder this morning how many witnesses are there in the house that God will make a way somehow. How many of you know that things have gotten tight in your life? That things have gotten to where you really just didn't know what you were going to do. But somehow, some way, God stepped in. And a lot of times you didn't know exactly where your blessing was going to come from. And I don't know about you, but I don't care where the blessing comes from. All I want is the blessing. Another old thing the old folk used to say, anyway you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. You know, we're living in a time now where we are particular. We want certain blessings. We want the God to do this. We want people to do that. But any way that the Lord blesses us, we ought to be satisfied. If we are able to say this morning, I got a reasonable portion of health and strength, meaning that you got a little something going on in your body. But if you look around, there's somebody that's in a worse condition than what you are. So if you have a reasonable portion of health and strength, you ought to be thankful for that reasonable portion. There's somebody that doesn't even realize that they got a little bit of strength left. There's somebody that does not realize that they are yet even still amongst the living. We have people that are comatose right now. They're just laying there. And if you have the use of your limbs, if your mind is active and your heart is still pumping blood on a regular basis, that you can feel the warmth of God, you can see the bright sunshine as it peeks through the windows, you can get up and even on a cold morning, you can feel the chill on your body. There's some people that are walking that cannot feel anything. You better be thankful that you can feel when you get hot. You can feel when you get too cold. There's some folk don't know what they're feeling. They're just there. And a lot of times we take our blessings for granted. We take it for granted because God in his mighty power has blessed us over and over again. Every day he allows us to get up. Every day he gives us something to eat. It might not be what you want, but it's enough to get rid of hunger. And we ought to be thankful for that the Lord does for us. I know to some it may just seem like mere words, but I truly believe that the Lord is going to take care of what is his. And what is his is you and I. We are from God. God took the dust of the ground and formed man in his own image. And the Bible says that he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then man became a living soul. After becoming a living soul, we realized that we didn't do everything just right. All the way back to the first man, man fell short on God. Sin against God was disobedient to the word of God. So now what makes you think that you are any better than Adam? What makes you think that you know a better way of doing things than Adam knew of doing? Because he was the first man. God had empowered him with a lot of knowledge and he had a lot of responsibility, but he failed the test because he wasn't obedient to the word of God. That's what we got to understand is that the word, we talked about last week that you can always depend on the word and the word won't let you down, but the word tells you that the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. The word tells you that you can't treat people any kind of way and continue to think that you're going to get by. That same hand that you took to throw a stone at somebody else, somebody already got their arm jacked back ready to throw another one at you. You got to be very careful sometimes how we look down on folks. You know, we get a little above ourselves sometimes. We feel like I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I do this right and I come to church and I do that. But that doesn't mean a whole lot if you don't have real love in your heart. The Bible says that even if you give everything that you got to help your brother, if you don't do it out of love, you haven't done anything. You know, a lot of us like to brag about what we do when we help somebody. But if you're doing it just to brag about it, you may as well not do it. You're not going to be blessed for your doing when you brag about it. But when you can just do it and sort of hide your hand, you can do it and sort of steal away and don't let nobody know. You know, every now and then you hear about an anonymous giver, somebody that just sort of hide in the woodwork, but they're still giving, they're still doing. And that's what the people of God got to learn is that we got some people that are in the woodwork that are doing the prayers that we are not praying. There's some folk that are praying that you know not of. We look at the outside appearance and we begin to get in our minds and we figure out who we think that they are. But do you realize that we are all made by God? We got to understand that if we are going to be blessed by God, we got to do what he tells us to do. When I began to think about how God works, it's a thing of when we do what God say do, a lot of time we got to walk by faith, not by sight. And that means that sometimes you can't already know what the outcome is going to be. You got to walk on anyhow. Sometimes you may not even know whether there's danger in the midst, but you got to walk on by faith anyway. Knowing that, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You left something with me to take care of me. And every now and then, as I'm on my path, I find myself walking into dangerous situations. I find myself even sometimes walking into trouble, but in the time of trouble, Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody know like David that Jesus said that he will hide you in his pavilion? He got a wall of protection all around you. And you know, I'm working on a message about my invisible barrier. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about that pavilion that God has put around me where you can throw all the dots that you want to throw, but they never get a connection. See, that's what I'm talking about. You got some haters in your life that are going to throw some darts your way. They're going to persecute you, going to criticize you, going to say that you don't have this or don't have that. But be reminded, even in your own mind, you don't have to fight your own battle. You can let God fight your battle. But be reminded that God is going to hide me in his pavilion. You can't get to me. Hallelujah. And every now and then we began to worry and wonder, oh Lord, why are they always talking about me? Lord, why am I always going through? Lord, why come it is every time I get one thing worked out, something else is already on my plate? Lord, when am I going to get a break? You might not need a break. Maybe you're going through so you can stay prayed up. Because some of us don't pray till we have trouble. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, when everything's going all right, we don't have time to pray. We want to do our thing. But every now and then when you're not able to do your thing, you begin to wonder where your strength comes from. Then you're reminded that all of my help comes from the Lord. When everybody else forsake me, when everybody else turn their back on me, how many of you know that you can depend on God? Somebody ought to tell the Lord, thank you this morning. As believers in Christ, we ought to know that we can do anything through the power of God. The Bible says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, what we have to know is that we got to be confident in the fact that no matter how bad it seems, as believers, nothing can hurt us so deeply that God cannot turn it around. You got to understand that the worst hurt that you've ever experienced in your life, if you are a believer in God's own time, you're going to come out all right. Because the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. See, if you love God, God will do the other part. There's no need you worrying about what other folk doing and what the other folk talking about. All you got to do is keep on loving God. And if you love God right, then God is going to bless you. God is going to take care of you. Those that are called according to his purpose. In other words, he is predestined some things to happen in your life. God knew that when you started out on your journey, every day is not going to be a sunny day. God remind me every now and then, Cage, you always thinking that everything's going to be just right and everybody going to get along. That's not the way that the world operates. In this life of yours, you're going to have some trials and tribulations. Every now and then, even in the church house, you're going to catch hell. But in the midst of all of that, you got to stand your ground. You got to have your mind made up. And every now and then, you got to recondition your mind. Hallelujah, Jesus. Every now and then, it's all right to sort of vent with one another. You can't tell everybody everything. But every now and then, get some of it up off of you. I know we sing a song sometimes, have a little talk with Jesus, but every now and then I want to talk to somebody that's going to talk back to me. Not through the spirit, but just talk through my ears. I want to talk to my brother. I want to talk to my sister and let them know, you know, how I'm going through this week. And it's all right to go through. You're not the only one going through, but don't feel like just because you're going through the world going to stop. That's how some of us act. Some of us act like if we don't come to church, church not going to function. You'll lie. The Bible says where two or three gather in his name, that he'd be in the midst. So we're going to take the two or three and we're going to run on and see what the end going to be. So you got to know what you are doing and why you're doing what you're doing. If you're doing it to excite me or to please me, you're not doing very much because I don't have nothing. I don't have a heaven or a hell to send you to. But when you began to think about what you are doing for the goodness of God. That's why the Bible says we know that all things will work together for the good. That sticks out to me, work together for the good. Because sometimes we don't know the good that God has intended for us. We got in our mind what would be a good thing we'd like to do, but somebody told me God's way is the best way. Somebody told me that if we want to get to Jesus, to the Father, we got to go through and by Jesus Christ. I don't think you're going to get by Jesus without believing in him. You got to first of all acknowledge that he is Lord of Lords. Then you got to come to your senses and realize that there comes a time that the Bible says, if one wants to be saved, all you got to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ that was buried on that Friday got up on that third day just like he said. And when he got up out of the grave, he had all power. And because he got up with all power, that blood that he shed before they put him in the grave was for your sins and for my sins. Anybody in here believe that Jesus died for your sins? Anybody in here know that because of his sacrificial death, you are free to live like you want to live. You're free to go to any church you want to go to. You are free to lift up the name of Jesus. We're living in some very terrible times right now, but in the midst of those times, God is going to prevail. When we consider our thought for today, the message that we are conveying and speaking to all of us is where we are in our lives right now. You got to do what the Lord say do. If I was to sum that up in one word, that word would be obedience. In order to be blessed by God, you got to be obedient. Obedience is carrying out the word and will of another person, especially the will of God. Obedience is a positive, active response to what a person hears. God's pleasure is not in your sacrifices, but his pleasure comes in your obedience. God's pleasure does not come because you can say, I did this for my neighbor last week. But if he was the one that told you to go do it in the first place, all you did was be obedient to the word of God. For when we hear the word of God, whether it comes from the preacher or a lay member or a brother or a sister or a family member, or even by that small, still voice, when God speaks, we need to listen. And then we need to respond. When we respond, we need to immediately be about our Father's business. When God speaks, that don't mean that we got to take time to doubt or debate the matter. You see, there's nothing to debate about. If God say go, then you need to go. You shouldn't be sitting there asking, Lord, why me? Lord, why didn't you send John G? That he can go just as well as I can go. But if God said, John Cade, I want you to go here, I need to go there. And I don't need to take time, wasting time questioning God or debating with God. Why do you want me to go? Don't you remember? Even Moses said, Lord, Lord, why do you want me to go? I can't talk very plain. I stutter and I stumble in my speech. But God said, don't you worry about that. I already got that under control. That's why I got Joshua there with you. So when your tongue get tied up, he would just let the words flow. You see, that's what our family is all about. We always got many members, but yet one body in Christ, and we are here to help one another in the cause of Christ. Whereas I might get weak, then my brother got to pick up where I left off at. Or either, you know, I heard somebody say, are you holding up the arms of the man of God? See, every now and then we get tired. Every now and then we get a little weary, and that's where you come in at. Because you got to pray ye one for another. And when you see that your brother, your sister is down and out, then you sort of help lift them up. You might not be able to take care of their trouble, but you can help encourage their spirit. You might not have them to dig them out of the hole that they dug for themselves, but you can help at least entice them to know that God will make a way out of no way. On today, as our children work in the house of God, and I thank God for this household of worship where we set aside some time and we take out the time to recognize that our young people are very important to society. Not only are they important to society, they're very important to God and to us. And because of their importance to us, we want to teach them and train them in the way that God would have them to go. Now, we got to understand that when we began to talk about our children respond to things that they've heard. So you got to be careful what you say around your children. Sometimes your children may not hear you say it, but they may hear somebody else say certain things. And they might respond off of what they heard. So now when they make the response, you got to be very careful to be observant of what your children are doing and who they're doing it with. Sometimes we fail to hear what our children are saying to us. Some of these young people are crying out, I need some attention. I need some love. I need somebody to just take a little patience with me and hear what I got to say. You know, we can't continue to say, you young, you don't know nothing. We understand that we have very intelligent young people now, and we got to make sure that that intellect go in the right direction. You see, sometimes you can think you're so smart that you're not so smart that you can't work your way out of your trouble. Trouble is easy to get in, but a whole lot of trouble to get out of. And a lot of times those situations that you make for your family, somebody's going to suffer while you're going through. We got to understand that it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility as the people of God to help one another along the way. The Bible tells us, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Well, now, the Bible is saying, children, obey your parents. So obey means to be obedient. So if our children, oh, y'all, what y'all talking about? When we're in the house of God, we got to train our children. You know what they're doing? What they see y'all do. Get a DVD every now and then. Not when the children are singing, but when the adults are singing. My back is to them, but I can look on the DVD and I can see all the talking that y'all have to do in the choir stage. So we got to set an example for our children that when they're in the house of God, even though they may not understand everything that I'm saying, that's why I added this scripture in for you young people. This scripture says, children, and I'm reading it out of the Bible. Children, obey your parents. And I know we got some more children, but I love y'all. Y'all close to me. I love them, but y'all are real close to me right now. And I want you to know that what you're doing is very important. What you're doing is a part of the worship experience. And your beautiful voices, they lift up and they fill our hearts with so much energy and so much joy that it helps me to preach God's word. So now what I'm trying to do is help you to be a better child. And the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Your parents are trying to teach you to do the right thing. So obey, being obedient is giving them honor. And being obedient, we are honoring our father and our mother. So the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, when you get a promise, that means that if I say that I'm going to do it, then I'm going to do something for you. So God is saying that if you honor your mother and your father, if you be obedient, that he promises you a long life on the earth. And that's what it's all about. We want our children to get to a place where they can be adults. And when their children come into the world, they will be able to know how to train them in the right way. We can't just go through the motions all the time. We got to take time out to make sure that everybody get on one accord. And you know, these children, I can talk around there and turn to them just like that. They don't get mad at me after church. They'll still come and hug me. But now if I'd have did that to some of y'all, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank God no more singing has to be done now. We are living in a time where you got to tell it just like it is. Some folk not going to like it. And a lot of times when you don't like it, you go and run off somewhere else. But I tell you, if they're preaching the truth, you're going to hear some of the same thing over there that you hear around here. The word of God does not change. The style of preaching might be different, and we might do things in a different manner because of our denomination, but we serve one true living God. And that one true living God say, love you one another as he has loved us. That one true living God in the Bible said, children, obey your parents, for this is right. I chime in on the song that Brother Carter sang, and I join in with the clause that I got a mother behind that mountain. I got a father behind that mountain. So those of you that know where I was coming from know that my mother and my father are dead and gone, and they're behind the mountain. So now I have to rely on my spiritual father. So now all of us, we are children of the Father. And the Father is saying, children, obey your father. You hear what I'm saying to you this morning? Don't worry about what Cain said. Just do what God said. God said, obey him. and you will have a long life. Obey him and things will work out better for you, because things work for the good to them that love God. So if you love God, God will make a way out of no way. We have to understand that it's not all about what we think. It's about what God wants us to do. The word says to us that truly, if we began to obey the power of God, God would do just what we need him to do. When we began to think about Solomon, Solomon said, train a child in the way that he'd go. For when he is old, he would not depart from it. But how many of you know that there's a law that when I will do good, evil is always present. Even when I will try to do the right thing, I find that evil is still in the midst. There's something about the enemy. He's always praying and putting himself in a position where he would try to persecute you. And he'll proposition you into not doing what God would have you to do. And it's sad, but it's true. But we live in a world that we live around a whole lot of haters. We live around a whole lot of folk that are jealous, folk that are envious, folk that hate it because you look like you're blessed. Just because you don't care, your problems on your face, that don't mean that you got everything under control. There are some of us in here that are yet going through that we just don't let you know. We learn how to smile anyhow. We learn how to keep your head up anyhow, knowing that the Lord will make a way out of no way. You can't follow the crowd. You got to have your own mind this morning. You got to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you got to do what the Lord said do. Now, in our text this morning, we are dealing with a man by the name of Saul. Saul was called the chief persecutor of the followers of God. Saul was a nasty operator. Saul was one that persecuted the children of God. If you say that you love God, then Saul was your enemy. If you say that you are on fire for the Lord, then Saul had a bucket of water ready to put you out. If you say that you are on the Lord's side, Saul try to give you other things that will entice your mind away. Let us look here in the Bible. The Bible says Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Saul had the audacity to go to the high priest. In other words, he was going to somebody that had higher authority than what he had. And he said, I want the authority to go out there. I'm going to get some of those followers of Jesus Christ and I'll bring them back to you. I heard they've been talking and teaching about Jesus, but we're going to bring a stop to this mess. So I said, give me the authority and give me a decree that when I get there, I know that I got somebody that got my back. You heard somebody say, have you got my back? So he didn't want to go out there all by himself. He wanted to make sure that he had some backup. So the Bible said that he went to the high priest and asked for his backup. He desired of him a letter to the synagogues of Damascus, that if he found any in the way that was serving God or loving God, what he said that he would journey there and that he would bring them back bound. Verse 3 says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth. He heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Think about it. Here's a man along with a couple other men walking along, and all of a sudden, got his mind made up. When I get there, I'm going to get them believers. When I get there, I'm going to make an example out of the believers. But on his way, this light shined from heaven all around him. A voice came out of the heavens and said, Saul, Saul, knew him by name. Why have you persecuted me? Well, now Saul, thinking within himself, this must be some higher power. And how is it that he knows my name? How is it that he know what I've been doing? You see, we are under the watchful eye of the Lord. And everything we do, everything we say is watched by God. Somebody said that you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God anytime. For God is always watching the things that we do. I believe that Saul realized at that point that this is a higher power. For the Bible says, and he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So in other words, Saul said, Lord, you got me now. You done got my attention. I realized that I've been doing wrong. But Lord, what will you have me to do? The Bible says that the men that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. Now you think about it. You use your spiritual imagination for a moment and you draw this picture in your mind. You got some men walking along and all of a sudden a light shined down, but nobody sees the light but Saul. But everybody hears the voice. A voice coming out of nowhere. Don't you think that would get your attention? Don't you think you'd stop and take notice? Well, the Bible says that as those men realized that they were speechless, Saul arose from the earth. Get this, verse 8. And when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Now, help me if you will. Here Saul is, he's seen this light. He's fallen to the ground. He's asked God a question. What would you have me to do? But now the Bible says that when he got up, his eyes were open. What does that tell you? That tells me that when he fell down, he closed his eyes. Why? Was he afraid? Surely. A voice out of nowhere. A light brighter than any light that you've ever seen in your life has come upon you. Now that that light has your attention, now Saul is ready to listen. You see, sometimes you cannot be reached until it's the proper time for you to be ready to listen. So now God has to get your attention. Sometimes he get it through the light. Sometimes he gets your attention through sickness. Sometimes he gets you through your finances. Sometimes it's a tragedy that happens in the family. And it gets your attention and you began to declare, I'm going to change my way of living. Because I don't want to end up like my cousin. I don't want to end up like my brother. I don't want to end up like my daddy. So I'm going to change the way that I do things. But the Bible said that when he opened up his eyes, hallelujah, he saw no man. Think about it. All of you that are in here right now, you are looking at me. You see this black robe. You see the preparation on my head. But what if in a moment God take your eyesight away? Think about it. You would sit there in amazement. First of all, I believe that you would be a little scared. First of all, I believe you'd be even afraid to tell your neighbor. You'd look, but you don't see no neighbor, but you can feel. You know the neighbor is still right there. But why can't I see my neighbor anymore? I'm looking at my pastor and I can't see him anymore. Lord, what's going on in my life? I got my eyes open, but I can't see. It scares me to think about it. That I serve a God that has so much power. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, God. That I can sit right here. And God can just speak the word. And not only one of us, but it could happen to all of us. What if God blinded all of our eyes right now so that we could be like Saul? Saul realized that the only way that I'm going to know how to help somebody, I got to go through something myself. So now, here we have a man that all of a sudden he cannot see. It's good. Oh God. It's good to have some good friends. It's good to travel in good company. Some folk might have left Saul by the wayside. But the Bible says that the men took Saul by the hand and led him into the city. Now, when you are at somebody else's disposal, they can carry you wherever they want to carry you. You can't see. The Bible says, for 3 days, Saul was without sight. For 3 days, he did not eat, neither did he drink. There was a certain disciple at Damascus. I'm going to get through this somehow. Whew. But now, the Bible says his name was Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul. For behold, he prayeth. Is this Saul, the persecutor? All of a sudden now the chief persecutor is praying. Who is he praying to? When you've cussed God, when you said that God has put this on you or put that on you, why are you asking God to help you? You know, sometimes the devil will mess your mind up into making you think that you are suffering because God has put that on you. Now, God will allow some things to happen in your life, but it's for your good. How do you understand it's for your good? Now Saul realizes everybody that I've gone up against that love Jesus, I've been doing wrong. Everybody that I criticized and persecuted, I've been doing wrong. So for 3 days, the Bible said that Saul prayed. Not only did he pray, but he fasted and prayed. There's something the Bible says that only come by fasting and prayer. See, when you give up everything else for the Lord hears what you got to say. Now that you got your attention, you got God's attention. For he realized that I can't make it through this life the way that I'm going. Well, now, let's look at Ananias. The Bible says he seen in a vision this man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, help me understand this. Why don't we believe that God hears the sinner's prayer? Was not Saul a sinner persecuting the people of God? But now that he's seen this light, now that he's blinded, he has began to pray for 3 days. And in his prayer of these 3 days, God in his all loving and compassionate power sends him a vision. He lets him know that you are blind now, but you shall receive your sight. The way that you're going to get your sight, Ananias, a servant of mine, is going to come and lay hands on you. And after he lay hands on you, you will receive your sight. Let's get with Ananias. Ananias answered, Lord, are you sure? I've heard a lot about this man. I've heard about all the evil that he's done. I've heard that he'd been against the saints at Jerusalem. I heard that he had the authority from the chief priest to bind all of them that call on the name of the Lord. Ananias wanted to know, Lord, why do you want me to help this man? This is an evil man. This is a man that don't love God. It's a man that don't know God. It's a man that I'm afraid to go up against. But Lord, I want to know, why do you want me to go in unto this man? The Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. I will show you how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I know that Saul did a lot of mean things in his life. But I am the Lord thy God. I know how to look beyond your fault and bless your every need. I know how to let you know that I can come into your life. I can take that bad situation and turn it around for the good. I can do anything that I want to do because I am the Lord thy God. I look down on Saul and now I realize that I can use Saul. I want him to be one of those that will go out and teach and preach the gospel. I want him to know that he is a chosen vessel. You may talk about a whole lot of folk and you might say what this one has and what that one do not have. But when God chooses him somebody, you cannot stop what God told them to do. When God tell you that you are going to be a child of God, you got to learn how to listen to the word of God. You got to shut everybody else out. Somebody might say that you don't need to do all this or that. Somebody might say that it don't take all of that. But I come to tell somebody that you got to do what the Lord tells you to do. You can't do what somebody else said. You can't do what mom and them said. But you got to do what God tells you to do. There was a time when you listened to mama and daddy. But then there come a time you got to listen to the father of all fathers. That'll tell you that you got to do what God tells you to do. Ananias went on his way. The Bible says he went on the street called straight. He got down to the house that he was supposed to be at. And after he got to the house, he began to look for a man by the name of Saul. He said, I'm looking for a man by the name of Saul. When he found Saul, they tell me that he immediately went in there and he put his hand on the man. Said, I come to lay hands on you. I come that you will heal from your blindness. I come that you might be baptized and filled with power. That power is going to come from on high. I tell somebody this morning that you better trust the power of God. For the Bible says whenever Ananias put his hands on Saul, that their scales fell off of Saul's eyes. He opened up his eyes. He began to see again. The Bible said it gave him some food to eat. And he got his strength back. If you ever been down and out in your body, and you called on the name of the Lord, and God came to your rescue, he gave you your strength back. You said, if I could just get a little more power, I'd get up out this bed. And I'll tell you, thank you. I'll lift up holy hands to you. I'll run until I get tired. If you give me my strength back, I'll do what you tell me to do. But there's always going to be somebody. They're going to try to tell you that you don't have to do this. But I come to tell you this morning, you better do what the Lord tell you to do. For the Bible says that Peter and John have been threatened by the council. The Sanhedrin council told them don't never preach in the name of Jesus anymore. But they began to tell him, I tell you the truth. I cannot help but preach the gospel. I got to do what the Lord told me to do. For I found that it is better to obey God rather than to listen to what man has to say. You better stop listening to man and be obedient to the power of God. You better do what God tells you to do. You see, the key to this whole story this morning is being obedient to the word of God. When the word of God comes forth and it speaks to you in your life, you better immediately get up off your seat, go and do what God tells you to do. And when you do what God tells you to do, there might be somebody that don't quite understand. But all you got to do is trust the power of God. I stop by to tell somebody that you got to do what the Lord said do. I don't care what nobody said. You better go while you can go. The men of God had did a great thing. But they healed the lame man that was sitting by the gate. and they just couldn't get an answer. They were scared to go up against these men. They found themselves bound up in prison. But Jesus, with all of his power, opened up the prison door, let them out in the middle of the night. And they were out there in the street once again, preaching and teaching about Jesus the Christ. And the Sanhedrin and the people of God, they came down and said, did not we straightway tell you? In other words, didn't I tell you don't talk about Jesus no more? But they gave them the reply, it is better to obey God rather than man. So all you got to understand this morning is you got to do what the Lord say do. Saul said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Only thing he told Saul at that point was you just go into the city. And when you get there, it'll be told to you what to do. Some of us would have been so inquisitive, we just had to know. Where you want me to go in the city? Who am I going to see in the city? How are they going to contact me when I get there? What's the address in the city? But all you got to do is what the Lord say do. See, I learned from preaching and looking at the faces of folk that you got to do what the Lord say do. When they frown, when they swell up, you still do what the Lord say do. Because that swollen is going to go down after a while. You can't stay swollen always. You can't be puffed up always. Every now and then, you got to let go and let God. You learn how to see and not see. You learn how to do what the Lord said do.